as we ask. Father, you be with us. Be with Brother John as he brings the message this morning. Be with those that are going to church camp today. And Lord, I just praise you for all the kids that are going this week. And they'll learn more about you. Lord, we just give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All right. Good to see you this morning. I hope you had a wonderful week and have been blessed. And we're going to have a wonderful camp. And if you've been with us, you know we're studying out of John's Gospel, and we are in chapter 6. So if you want to make your way with your Bible, your device, or you just want to read it off the board, whatever you want to do, we'll be talking today about Jesus calms our fears. Jesus calms our fears. I heard the story, and it's been around a long time, about Miss Jones. And Miss Jones had a wonderful garden, and her pastor, they were in the country, and her pastor would typically come over on Wednesdays because she would make him something to eat. So he would arrive around noon. Well, he knocked on the door. There was no answer. He went around to the back of the house, to the garden. Miss Jones wasn't there. He went back and knocked again on the door, and no answer. So he wrote on a little card, Revelation 3:20. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me." Well, he didn't realize that she had just gotten out of the shower and did not want to come to the door. So that Sunday, as she was leaving, she put a card in his hand, and it was Genesis 3:10. And it says these words, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Fear. The first time that we hear about fear in the Bible is in that passage in Genesis 3. And before then, there was a perfect environment, and man had not sinned, and there was no fear. But once sin entered, fear has been a universal problem. And we have all experienced that fear. And I want to talk today out of John's Gospel, four things I want to show you or share with you concerning this. So in the honor of the reading of the Word of God, I'd ask you to stand, and we'll read starting in verse 16 down to verse 21. You remember the story from 2 weeks ago about the feeding of the 5,000? And now Jesus is going to walk on the sea, starting in verse 16. "Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, 'It is I. Do not be afraid.' Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going." Let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your grace. And I thank you, Father, that you give us these signs in John's Gospel to show your divinity. And Father, I just pray today as we look at this text that you will just open our minds to understand that you are always with us. And Father, we have nothing to fear. And I pray, Lord, that you would just guide and direct our lives and our hearts and help us to become the children of God that you desire us to be. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, and thank you for saving us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I love looking at art. And I have several books in my library about art and great art. And there's a Scottish artist named William Brassey Hoe. And he painted over 80 different scenes of the life of Christ. What he did, he went to Jerusalem and he spent 6 months there. And then he came back and he painted these scenes. And there's a lot of scenes about Jesus walking on the water. But this is the one I would like to share with you. And because you see, it's a dark, stormy night. And when it's dark and stormy and you're in the middle of a sea like that and it's raging, it can be a very frightening experience. But imagine how much more frightening it would be to see somebody walking on the sea. And that night, those disciples, I'm satisfied, were absolutely terrified by what they saw. In fact, they say, it's a ghost. And they thought they were going to drown. There are four things that I want to share with you. The first one is this. When we proceed without Jesus, or when we proceed without Jesus, listen, we may experience scary storms. Now, here's the thing. You'll listen to a lot of preachers on television, and they will tell you, once you become a Christian, you're going to be happy, healthy, wealthy, and wise. You're not ever going to encounter any problems. But the life of Christ, you see so many problems. Jesus, in fact, went to the cross, bled, and died, so we know that that theology isn't true, and it's not biblical. We are going to encounter storms. We're going to encounter problems. You're going to have trials and difficulties in your life. And once you become a Christian, often the floodgate opens and you have even more difficulties. But Jesus left the disciples, went into the mountain, Mark's gospel tells us, and he was praying for them, and he told the disciples to go across the sea. Mark's gospel says, we are going to the other side. So that was the promise Jesus made to them. But the disciples, they got in the boat and they started rowing, and a storm comes in and fear struck their hearts. They were absolutely paralyzed by their fear. Now, there are good fears, there's healthy fears, and there's unhealthy fears. And a healthy fear is this. If you're walking in a pathway and you see a rattlesnake coiled ready to strike you, that's healthy fear to avoid that rattlesnake. It's healthy fear when something is going to harm us and we recognize that fact. But there are a lot of unhealthy fears, and they're called phobias, from the word phobos in the original language. And there's over 300 phobias in the mental health science textbook tells us. And there are some fears, some phobias that are a little bit irrational. And here's the 10 most common phobias ranked 1 to 10. Number 1, the fear of public speaking. And I see a hand goes up. The fear, number 2, of death. And I love what Seinfeld said. He said, if you're asked to give a eulogy at someone's funeral, that person that has that fear of public speaking would rather be in the casket than giving the speech. Fear of terrorist attacks. Fear of snakes, got that one. Fear of spiders and insects, heights. Fear of flying. Fear of confined spaces, I have that one as well. Fear of open spaces, agoraphobia, I don't have that one. Fear of thunder and lightning. So you see, there's a lot of fears, a lot of phobias that people have. I used to love listening to a pastor in First Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. His name was John Bisogno, and I got to hear him on several occasions. Great pastor. About 3 years ago, he went to be with the Lord. He had a fear of flying. And he went down to get his bus ticket to go to another city. And when he went down to get the bus ticket, the lady recognized him because he was always on television. She said, aren't you that TV preacher that pastor's First Baptist? Said, yes, I am. Said, well, why don't you fly rather than taking the bus? He said, well, I'm afraid to fly. And the lady said to him, the Lord said he'd be with you always. And John Bisogno said, no. The Lord said, lo, I am with you always. So I'm going to remain low. But fear can paralyze us. And the disciples' fear had paralyzed them. And there's a couple of things I want to share with you about this fear. Number one is fear can be multiplied because of the cover of darkness. When it's dark, that fear intensity seems to ebb up. And sometimes, a friend of mine, we were in high school, and he lived down a dirt road. And he was walking in the dark one night, and he had a fear of the dark, and he hears steps behind him, so he stops. The footsteps stop. He starts again. The footsteps start again. He gets a little more frightful. He speeds up. The steps speed up. He starts to run. The steps behind him are running. And he said they're gaining on him. And finally he comes inside of his house and he rushes in and closes the door. And then he peers out and it was his dog. But he wouldn't have been afraid in the daylight, but because it was dark, there's fear. It intensifies our fear. In those days, for the disciples on the Sea of Galilee, they had a belief in those days because they didn't have sonar, they didn't have equipment to know the depth of the Sea of Galilee. They thought it was bottomless, and they thought monsters lived in the Sea of Galilee. So you can imagine what's going through their mind. It's dark. It's stormy. The boats, and by the way, a first century boat is not nearly made as well as a boat is today. So it would be easy to capsize, and they are thinking all of these things. What if the boat capsizes? What if I'm in the sea? What if Leviathan gets me? What if, what if, what if? And those questions just raced through their minds. And I'm satisfied they would ours as well. And fear is multiplied by darkness. But also fear, number two, is multiplied when we lose our direction. You ever been in the middle of a forest and lost your direction, and you wander around and you can't find your way? That's a little bit frightening, and especially as it starts to become dark and you don't know where you're going and you're fearful. It was a dark, stormy night. The disciples were in the boat, and they were fearful. They didn't have the stars to give them directions. They didn't know where the shoreline was. They had already gone 3 to 4 miles. They had 8 miles to go, and they were in the middle. Maybe they were just going in circles over and over and over again. And then on the fourth watch of the night, which is between 4 and 6 a.m., they see this figure walking on the water. They think it's a ghost. Fear grips them. But here's the great thing. When we have fear in our life, it can give us a sense of purpose and direction if it's used correctly. But when it's not used correctly, we can just be paralyzed with that fear. And the disciples, they see this figure, and that intensified their fear because they didn't know what was next. What's going to happen? Are we going to drown? Thirdly, fear is multiplied by the threat of death. And they thought, if we capsize this boat with the storm and the waves, we'll never walk away alive. The darkness, the wind had been kicking up, and they were afraid. They thought they were going to capsize, and that would be the last of them. Now, think about it like this. If they'd been standing on solid ground, they wouldn't have been as fearful. Why? Because they wouldn't be battling the elements of the sea, just the rain and the wind. But they understood if they capsized, more than likely they were going to die. Now, most of us don't want to die like that. Most of us, we want to die at a ripe old age, having eaten our favorite meal, kissed our spouse, talked with our children and grandchildren, told everyone we love them, go to bed, wake up in heaven. I mean, wouldn't that be the ultimate way to go? But you know what? It doesn't typically work that way. There's all kinds of things and all kinds of ways to die. And the disciples were fearful. But here's the benefit. Think about it like this in Hebrews 2:15. It says, Jesus did what? He released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now listen to me. When you're born again, when you know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, there is no need to fear death. We win. It's like the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's like flipping a coin. Heads, I win. Tails, I win. We win. So we shouldn't fear. Second major point I want you to hear is this. Jesus seeks and He cares when we're struggling in a storm. Now, there's all kinds of storms, and many of us have been through all kinds. The thing is, in our text, in verse 48, it says these words. He saw them straining at rowing. Now, Jesus saw them, but the problem was they couldn't see Him. And Jesus sees us. There are 7 billion people on planet Earth. And I want you to know something. His mind is on you. He's thinking about you. Psalm 139 tells us these things. your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, that in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me. How precious they are. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. You know what the psalmist is saying? You're always on his mind. You're always on God's mind. He's always thinking about you. You may not always be thinking about Him, but He always is thinking about you. So in the midst of the storm, Jesus on the mountaintop looks down into the stormy sea, and with divine eyes, He sees the struggle that the disciples are going through. So listen. Whatever storm you're going through, Jesus cares for you. Whatever dark struggles that you're in, in the midst of, He embraces you, He loves you, and He will be with you. And then, it's interesting. Third thing, Jesus does this. Jesus walks into your greatest fears, and He says these words, "Don't be afraid. Do not fear." Fear is a powerful thing. Powerful force, and it can make you do some strange things. Read a true story. This old farmer in Spain, he was hitchhiking, and a pickup truck stops. There's no room in the front, but he can get in the back. There's only one problem. In the back of the pickup truck, there's a coffin. So he said, "Is anyone in there?" "No, I'm taking it to the funeral home." So he crawls in the back. It begins to rain. He thinks, well, there's only one dry place back here, so he climbs into the casket. Well, the truck driver stops and picks up two other hitchhikers. They get in. It's still raining. Finally, the rain stops. The casket lid comes open, and he said, well, finally, it's quit raining. And those two men jumped out of the moving truck, badly injuring themselves. So fear can make us do some unusual things. Let's go back to the disciples struggling in the midst of the storm and the sea. Imagine what your reaction would have been if you saw someone walking on water. With all of that pent-up fear, here's how Jesus describes it in verse 19 and verse 20. So, when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But He said, now it's important that you understand this. "It is I, do not be afraid." What that "it is I" means, I am, ego I me. You know where that comes from. Jesus spoke those words, but also they go all the way back. When Moses said, "Who do I tell them sent me to deliver you from Pharaoh?" You tell them, "I am sent me. I am." And "I am" means "I am God." So Jesus was saying, listen, I am God, and I'm right here to deliver you now. And I want you to understand something. He is right here to deliver you now, regardless of what you're going through. The second thing He said there is, do not be afraid. Fear not. By the way, you know how many fear nots there are in the Bible? 365. One for every day of the year. Now, whatever you're going through, recognize the fact He is with you. So don't be afraid. The Bible tells us that when we exercise our faith, our fears will flee. In Isaiah chapter 41, it said, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Whatever storm you're going through, emotional, financial, relational, medical, whatever you're going through, listen, take His hand and recognize the fact that He is with you. He is God. "I'm here," He says. "Do not be afraid." Last thing I want to share with you, the fourth point is this. Jesus hasn't promised smooth sailing in our lives, but He has promised a sure destination. He's promised us we will arrive at the destination. When they invited Jesus into the boat, some things happened in verse number 21. Watch what happened. They willingly received him in the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Now, four things happened there that evening. When you compare all three accounts of this story, number one, Jesus walked on the water. Number two, Peter walked on the water. Number three, Jesus calmed the storm. And number four, immediately they were at their destination. Immediately. Now, they were 3 or 4 miles away from their destination, but immediately, another miracle. How many miracles are in that miracle? Four different miracles. It's amazing how God works. Listen, the very thing the disciples feared, the water, was under Jesus' feet. You may think it's over your head, but listen to me. Whatever you're going through is under Jesus' feet. Listen, the Bible teaches everything is under Jesus' feet. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us these words: far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet. Now say that with me. All things. You can do better than that. All things. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. So listen, as the church, we are in Christ. The Bible tells us Christ is in us, but we're also in Christ. So because we're in Christ, guess what? Everything is already under our feet. Physically, I am here. Positionally, I am there. Watch what it says in chapter 2, verse 6. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listen, where are you at? You say, well, I'm at Salem First Baptist Church, Salem, Arkansas. Yes, you are physically. Positionally, you are already in the heavenlies. You're there with Christ. That is an incredible promise and blessing. About 4 years ago, we were in Costa Rica. And we were in a national park. All kinds of animals. Looked up in a tree and there was a sloth. Okay. There was a sloth. You know how slow sloths move. But there were also monkeys everywhere. And Finn was little and Finn had my hand. And we were crossing this little bridge and this monkey was sitting on it. And the monkey took a swipe at Finn and I pulled him back. And the monkey ran off. He said, "Poppy, what would you have done to that monkey if it had hit me?" I said, "Finn, I'd have taken that monkey apart piece by piece." He looked at me and he smiled and he said, "I bet you would." You see, because he had a hold of my hand, he didn't have to fear. And God has us in his righteous right hand. Therefore, we don't need to fear. John 16:33 says these words: "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Why? "Because I have overcome the world." What a blessed promise, amen? So whatever you're going through, and I know that almost all of us are going through something right now, just remember, it's under his feet. You may think it's over your head, but he's got it. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you've never